Welcome, everyone, to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, March 23rd, 2012. I'm Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly, and I'm sitting in for Bill Buckmaster today. He's taking a much-deserved long weekend, and I'm envious of him. The Buckmaster Show is broadcast live at noon each weekday on The Voice, KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We'd like to welcome Cochise County listeners who are tuning in on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas, and Gila County listeners tuning in on KJAA AM 1240 in Globe. Of course, you can stream the show live and listen to archived versions at buckmastershow.com. This being Friday, it's, of course, time for our Friday Focus interview featuring a Southern Arizona newsmaker. Today, we welcome Michael Keith, the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. And joining me to talk to Mr. Keith is my good friend Sarah Gasson-Garrett, or Garrett Gasson, say that three times fast. How do you say that?
Garrett Gasson, yeah.
Of the Arizona Daily Star. And you're welcome to join in the conversation as well by calling the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. That's a true continuing care retirement community, and you can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, welcome, Michael. Appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Do you want to just kind of start out and explain for people who may not know exactly what the Downtown Tucson Partnership is? What is it?
It's a public-private partnership charged with acting as a catalyst for the redevelopment of downtown. More specifically, we do security, maintenance for downtown. We promote festivals and events, marketing and PR, and economic development.
So I was telling you before we went on the air, on Wednesday night, a good friend of mine, Saxon Burns, who used to be a staff writer for the Tucson Weekly, but has been gone for the last 4 or 5 years going to grad school and stuff like that. We actually started out our evening at Scott & Company, which fantastic artisan cocktails, just amazing, and then wandered down to Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails to have dinner and, you know, walked by Playground, which if you haven't been to Playground, it's very ritzy and very nice. Ritzy in a good way, of course. But he was just stunned as a Tucson native who's been gone for most of the last 4 or 5 years to see where downtown is with the new Unisource building and all these restaurants going in. Kind of tell me, you know, in the time that you've been with the partnership, what you've seen happen downtown and why you think it succeeded despite the debacle, let's face it, that is Rio Nuevo.
It's an economic miracle that's bottom driven. It's an organic process of people who just actually came together and said it was time to invest in downtown. Now, in all fairness to the city, they did prime the pump with the 4th Avenue underpass and years before that, the Broadway underpass and paving of streets downtown and some of the streetscape improvements that they did, the widening of I-10. It was just our time. And what's extraordinary about it is that it happened in the worst economic cycle since the Great Depression.
When you say that it was just our time, can you be a little bit more specific? Why was it just your time?
I think because so little had been done. There was such a vacuum there. People that had drifted to Tucson saw opportunities there and saw what hadn't been done and almost collectively decided that this was a good time to start investing in downtown.
I wanted to ask about the notion of why Tucson needs a downtown. And I'm speaking of Tucson in the general metropolitan area. There's so much of the population who live in the foothills and Sahuarita that maybe don't identify with downtown. So can you talk a bit about why, for the health of the overall community, why it matters to have a downtown and why this is something that people keep talking about and has been such a focus?
Yeah, I think if you look at when you travel, where you gravitate to when you travel, if you go to San Diego, you go to Balboa Park, or if you go to San Francisco, you go to specific places, and you go to places like Santa Fe because they have vibrant city centers that have talk about their culture and talk about their history and have entertainment options and other options. And every city needs a center where community can occur, where culture can occur. And we're no different. One of the marks against us all these years is that we didn't have any there. And so when Trio tried to promote Tucson as a place for businesses to move and relocate, they would take one look at the downtown and say, there's nothing here for our people, especially our younger people. The U of A has problems recruiting and retaining good professors who really want to go to places where there's a vibrant cultural and a vibrant intellectual life and creative life. And much has been written about the creative class and this young group of people that most cities are actually vying for to come into their city centers and bring that vibrancy and that creativity. And we've just started to do that. But I think the downtown's are the heart of your city. They're your identity. It's really who you are.
There was something that you said in response to Jimmy's question about why is this happening now that I wanted to ask you a bit more about. You mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, that there were people who came into the area who kind of saw opportunities of things that hadn't been done before. Are you speaking like literally like people who were new to the Tucson area who came in? And could you talk a bit about why it's taken people who aren't maybe native Tucsonans or haven't been here for a long time to kind of get that spark going?
Well, some of them, and the reason we know this is we did face-to-face interviews 14 months ago when we did the first piece that we did on downtown. So at that point, back in November 2010, we published a piece that said $120 million of private investment had been put into downtown, 65 of it the TEP building, but the rest of it were small restaurants and boutique shops that had opened up. And so we asked all of them that question, and a lot of them said, I came from Chicago, I came from California, I was part of the redevelopment efforts in Austin, and we could see that it was time for Tucson to emerge from the stasis of the last 20 years, actually more like 60 years. And they saw an opportunity to urbanize downtown Tucson and be part of that effort.
Is that, do you think, a cultural thing in the sense that, I mean, Tucson's had waves of development and kind of the springing up of downtown and then things moved as Elcon was built and things like that. What is it that you think about the people who have been here, maybe the status quo, that did we just not see it?
Yeah, I think sometimes it's hard to see things in your own backyard, and it takes a fresh eye sometimes to tell you that you've got something really valuable, something unique, and something special. And we had a woman that came down from Mill Avenue who ran the downtown partnership there, and she walked up and down Congress, and she said, we wish we had this kind of authenticity up in Tempe. The fact that we don't have this kind of a streetscape, these kinds of buildings that are now been the facades have been improved, the original bones of the buildings have been exposed, and we're doing this kind of adaptive reuse on it. She said, we have nothing like this. You're so lucky here. And I remember just coming to a stop that day thinking, we're lucky? Somebody from Phoenix is telling us we're lucky? And from that day on, I've actually had a kind of a different attitude. And then things since that day have just taken off. I mean, it's just exploding down there.
One of the more interesting things about downtown Phoenix these days, of course, is their light rail system. And we're not going to have anything like that here, but the streetcar is going in. And when I was on my little wandering about downtown on Wednesday that I was telling you about earlier, you can't help but notice the signs in the windows of Hydra on Congress Street. And there seems to be some concern about the streetcar and maybe some unfair treatment there. What are the now that construction's like starting within weeks on the streetcar downtown, what are some of the businesses' concerns about the disruption that's obviously going to come from this?
Yeah, they're going to have to close sections of Congress and Broadway as they move through and do all the below-grade infrastructure improvements necessary to support the businesses later and the sidewalkscapes and all the other improvements that they – you know, some of that sewer is 100 years old in sections of that that street. And then they're going to have to put the tracks down and repave the streets. And it's going to take some time, maybe 5 months in the downtown core Broadway and Congress area, maybe quicker than that. They're going to work at night. But it's going to have an effect on businesses. It's going to have an effect on festivals and events. It's going to have an effect on traffic. But you've got to go through this if you're going to emerge on the other side. And what a unique situation we're going to have if that 4-mile corridor is in place. I mean, there's going to be nothing like it in the West. But, you know, these businesses are going to be really affected over the summer when people can't get to them as easily as they can now.
And, of course, summers are tough for business in Tucson anyway.
Right.
So what do you tell you're representing a wide variety of businesses and groups and organizations mm-hmm. downtown. But what advice do you give these businesses that are concerned, frankly, about possibly surviving this disruption? Yes, there are good times coming 18 to 24 months down the road, but there's going to be some pain before that.
That we're, the partnership will do everything we can to help support them and put out a positive message in every medium and every way that we can. We've already put together on our website a newsletter that goes out every Tuesday that shows all the road closings, alternate ways to get downtown, where to park, how to overcome this. Because basically we've got 15,000 parking spaces downtown. There's multiple routes into the downtown area from Stone and 22nd and the freeway. So there are a lot of ways to get down there. We're going to help people just navigate that for the short term.
In terms of the downtown, Jimmy was mentioning the posters in the window of Hydra basically saying the city is, in essence, kind of picking winners and losers. And the idea of some businesses and organizations have had preferential treatment, others might say, in terms of rent abatement or special agreements, while others have not. What is the partnership's take on all of that, and what is being done to try to equalize that?
Yeah, you have to separate the time periods on some of these deals. There was a time, remarkably, not very long ago, 5 years ago, when you couldn't get anybody to come down and open up anything in downtown Tucson. If you own property, you would make any deal you could with anybody to get them in there and to open a restaurant or open a store or open an office. The city, I believe, did the right move, particularly with the train depot spaces, making an offer to an established company that already had a success to go in there after another business closed and take over a space and make it go. And that's paid off so handsomely. They have just gotten hundreds of thousands of dollars of tax money back on that. But some of those deals were done before. That's not happening anymore. But that's 4 and 5 years in the past now.
It's time for a break here on the Buckmaster Show. I'm here with Michael Keith, the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. I'm Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly, and we'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
V
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Jimmy Bogle, the Tucson Weekly, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. We're talking to Michael Keith, the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and my friend Sarah Garrett Gasson, I think I actually said it right that time, is here talking to him about downtown and all that, the excitement and controversy going on down there. Kind of a softball question here for you, but because I do believe in downtown, I want to ask it anyway. You know, a lot of investment's gone in over the last little while, and a lot of cool, exciting stuff is coming up. Kind of from your inside knowledge, can you explain what's going on?
Yeah, we've seen an incredible amount of retail put in the last 3 years in particular. The restaurants that you were noting earlier, new boutiques have opened up, coffee shops, a brewery, actually a second brewery coming. The next phase, which is particularly exciting, is in the amount of mixed-use housing and retail projects that are on the horizon. I mean, it's not inconceivable by the end of this year that we could have 4, maybe even 5 housing projects going on between downtown and the west side. And these are apartments either for students, market rate apartments, and a potential affordable housing project. This is a whole new era for us. I mean, we haven't seen housing put into the downtown area since the mid-'80s.
How many people are going to be living downtown, do you think, in a couple
years? If all these projects go, this is over 1,000 people. If all those projects that are being talked about go, some of them are more shovel ready than others, but at a very minimum, probably 600 or 700 people.
One of the things that's missing from downtown right now, you've got obviously the bars and the restaurants and the culture and the streetcar coming in. But one of the things that's not there now that kind of worries me in terms of people living there, and there are already a fair number of people living downtown, is the infrastructure in terms of like grocery stores, for example, drug stores, things like that. Those aren't downtown. So how, if you're trying to get more people to live downtown, you know, what do you tell them when you say, well, heck, you have to drive a mile down Broadway to get to Safeway? Or whatever like that.
Which isn't a big burden,
actually. Well, if you're trying to get around on foot, it can be.
Well, if you're going to build a new concept based on a transportation system where you're going to park the car and access everything off of a transportation system or walk or bike, yes, this is a very good question. And it's one I hear every time I do a PowerPoint presentation. But there are two different spaces that are looking at putting markets in right now. Kind of the Rincon Market model with both a deli and places to eat as well as food. There's some talk about a drugstore. I think that will come pretty quickly. You got to remember that a lot of these mixed-use projects that are coming have a lot of retail, open retail space coming with them. So the new parking garage, Centro, just as you come up out of Broadway, well, there's four stories of student housing going above that, but there's 20,000 square feet of retail at the base of that. If you look at it right now, you can't see it, but there's two-story mezzanine space in there for a restaurant. There's space in there for a market, and then you could just park in the garage. Across the street next to the Rialto, that housing project also has retail. Up on Broadway, there's more retail going on. And then the base of the new TEP building, they're looking at a market concept there.
I wanted to, as you mentioned, parking, and that's long been the it's a misperception now because there's so many parking spaces. But for a long time, people are like, oh, there's nowhere to park, blah, right. blah, blah. And now there are a lot of spaces, but you still have to pay for them. So I'm wondering, and that, even if it's only a couple of dollars, adds just sort of like another reason not to go do something in people's minds. So people have suggested over the years, well, why not just make parking free? What do you think about that? Is that something that would actually make a difference?
Well, unfortunately, as you know, the city is completely broke. And they have a huge structural deficit on top of that, that at some point they're going to have to make up, and all the articles about potholes and everything else. So there really isn't any money to subsidize it from the city's point of view. And Parkwise is just breaking even right now on their parking facilities. And so the subsidy would have to come from somebody else. Now, parking, all the metered spaces at night are free. Some of the surface lots are free. The parking garages are ridiculously cheap. They're $5 all night on weekends. During the week, the first hour is free. I mean, and even during the week, it's 25 cents for a half hour. I mean, we have the cheapest parking rates of anywhere in the country. I mean, they really need to raise the rates, actually.
We've actually got a call on the live line from Mike. Mike, meet Michael. Mike, what's going on?
Thanks for taking my call. I kind of see three or so problems with this whole concept, and one is nobody's going to really want to come down just to see the streetcar itself. If they do, it's something they're interested in. They probably won't do it more than once or twice. So there's not a big tenant or a big draw like a sports arena or something like that to keep things going. You may have enough residents to give you enough business, but from a businessman's standpoint, you always want to have something that will boost you either at a certain time of the year or certain events. I mean, you've got the gem show and things like that, but you need 20 or 30 of these big-time things.
Well, here's the thing about the transportation corridor. There's 100,000 people that either live or work within a quarter of a mile of that four-mile corridor. So you think of all the U of A people, the professors, all the historic neighborhoods, Pima College, downtown, the west side, which we haven't even talked about yet. So you're going to be able to plan a day or plan a weekend or plan a night of activities along that corridor. That's going to be a fairly unique experience. We're looking at a series of kiosks, information kiosks, that would bridge the entire four-mile corridor. So as you jump in, on and off this this light rail system, this modern streetcar system, I should say, you're going to be able to say, hey, there's a blues club opening up by Main Gate, or this restaurant's offering this special on the west side, and start to combine dining and parking and events off this corridor.
We've got about 2 minutes left before the news, and so I have to ask you about the elephant in the room, in the elephant downtown, you could say. Of course, Rio Nuevo. Of course, that's still being mediated between the city and the Rio Nuevo board, and not a lot is happening. And the city's just finally agreed to pony up some money to actually replace the bleachers in the arena because they've decided they're actually dangerous. Tell me the Downtown Tucson Partnership. You know, you guys are kind of outside of the Rio Nuevo bickering, but it obviously affects you deeply. So what are the partnership's thoughts on Rio Nuevo and what's going on?
Well, ironically, this may all come to a very happy ending, because by the time they get this figured out, they're going to have the money available to do the big projects that are going to be the cherry on the top of the sundae, as I said here once before. I mean, it's turning out to be almost a blessing in disguise. Because this whole organic movement that's happening, the 70 businesses that have opened in 4 years downtown, $200 million worth of investment. Now you can turn around and look at the convention center and an arena and actually position it based on that. You've got the support there. The housing's coming in. A bill is trying to work its way through the legislature that will give Rio Nuevo the possibility of spending money outside of just the convention center and hotel, which means they may be able to support some of these other projects as well. So I think it's just going to be perfect timing.
But are they actually going to – you say that they're going to actually get something going and fix this. Give me some proof in like the 20 seconds we have left that they are actually going to get – because I'm getting pretty cynical, I have to say, about the Rio Nuevo board now.
How long can the city and Rio Nuevo keep punching each other in the eye?
Well, who knows? They've been punching themselves in the eye for quite a while.
No, I think both of them are looking for a solution. I think a solution is going to be found fairly quickly. They're really motivated to move forward.
Well, thanks, Michael. I appreciate it. Michael Keith, the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. We'll be back with the Reporters Roundtable after the news.
SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. The military says Army Staff Sergeant Robert Bales has been officially charged with 17 counts of premeditated murder in a shooting rampage in southern Afghanistan. If convicted, Bales could be sentenced to death. A spokesman for U.S. forces in Afghanistan says Bales was also charged with 6 counts of attempted murder and 6 counts of assault. He's being held at the Army's Fort Leavenworth in Kansas. Two Republican presidential candidates are questioning whether a neighborhood watch volunteer was acting in self-defense when he shot an unarmed black teen. Rick Santorum acknowledges that Florida has a stand-your-ground law, giving people more freedom to use deadly force instead of retreating during a fight. But he says stand-your-ground is not doing what this man did. And Newt Gingrich says there's a question as to whether the neighborhood watch volunteer was actually the aggressor. This is SRN News.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030 and the Voice Network, or Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. I'm Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly, and I'm sitting in for Bill Buckmaster today. Man, I'm just having a terrible time with names. Each Friday, we present the Reporters Roundtable, featuring some of the area's finest journalists discussing the week's top stories. And joining me are Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star and my friend Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News and Sun. And of course, if you want to throw your two cents in, feel free to call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. So welcome, Dan.
How are you?
Doing great. I just have to say before we start, it's kind of a weird day. The University of Arizona Journalism School is having their internship fair today, and you two just both came from there. My assistant editor, Irene Messina, is actually covering for me. I should be there right now. So real quick, what is the future of journalism like?
You know what? I'm encouraged that people are interested in going into the field. They seem to understand the changes and the challenges, and that's good. And it's also interesting, I talked to several kids who are going to school there, but they're from the Phoenix area, and I would say, why here instead of ASU? And they had some very good reasons, and number one is the instructors there, and also they just love Tucson.
I would have to say that it's great. I teach at the U of A and have for about 10 years, and so it's great to see the progression of students as they come in and then end up at the internship fair. And so I was interviewing students who are ready for the apprentice program at the Star, and they're really dynamic, interesting people, a lot more go-getting than I remember. Maybe it was just me or the people I knew, but a lot more on top of things.
I wonder where they're going to find their jobs in the future. But anyway, speaking of jobs, some people are competing for a new job in CD2 and CD8. How is that for a segue?
Of course, the
big political news this week was Ron Barber announcing that not only is he in for the Congressional District 8 special election, he's going to run for a full 2 years in the new CD2, which is actually most of the current Congressional District 8. That took a lot of people by surprise.
You know, actually, I'm surprised that people were surprised. And I talked to a few people who were who are in with Ron. I've talked to Ron a couple of times. And the fact is that as he got into this initial special election mode, you know that after a while, and I'll be honest with you, Frank Antonori said this to me. He said, you know, Dan, people are cheering you. They're calling out your name. It's kind of intoxicating, and it affects different people differently. So he wasn't surprised that Ron was going to stay in the race. I certainly was not surprised whatsoever. What is interesting to me is the people that he has knocked out, and I'm just going to throw this out because she is just such a formidable candidate and a great person. That's Nan Stockholm Walden out of Sarita, who decided to step back out of her respect for Gabriel Giffords and for Ron, and she certainly completely supports him. But she is would be a tremendous candidate for the Democrats.
She never actually, if I'm correct, announced her intention to run, whereas Steve Farley did, and he actually got out before when Ron Barber made his announcement. But a couple other candidates didn't.
Yeah, Paula Aboud and Matt Hines are still in the race. They all three who had declared through their support behind Ron Barber for the initial to fill out the rest of Gabriel Giffords' term, the special election. But then the assumption was that he wasn't going to go and continue on in November. And so they said, clearing the decks for you in the special, but we will be running. And they actually all endorsed him. So now we have Steve Farley saying he's going to run for a state Senate seat instead and throwing his support behind Ron. But Paula Aboud and Matt Hines, who are two state lawmakers at this point, aren't stepping aside or changing their plans whatsoever. So while the Republicans have a very volatile and interesting primary race from the very get-go, it looks like the Democrats, if things stay as they are, will have a very interesting general election race now too.
Do you think it'll be all that interesting though? Because at least the read that I have on it right now is that Ron Barber's got to be the big favorite. I mean, he was Gabrielle Giffords' district director, and she has his blessing, and she's one of the most popular politicians in the country right now.
Right. I'm a little surprised that the other two have not dropped out yet. I understand why they have. haven't, and I think Nan Stockholm-Walden would have loved to have gone for this, but she understands that run is probably the best thing going right now for the Democrats.
Yeah. And also, I think I just have to talk about the dynamic of having these two back-to-back races because it's so interesting. Because you've got the CD8 race, which voting is happening right now. Early voting ballots went out yesterday, and so people are actually voting to determine the Republican nominee in this. And right after this, there's going to be the general election for the CD8 special election. Then a couple months later is the primary for the new Congressional District 2. And just the dynamic is amongst the Republicans. You know, Jim Nintzel actually had some speculation in the Tucson Weekly this week that, you know, Jesse Kelly, a lot of people think is the favorite because he was the name recognition. He's got the name recognition. He was the nominee a year and a half ago. But if he were to actually, you know, win and then lose to Ron Barber, does the person who actually finishes second to Jesse Kelly, does he or she actually become the favorite in the new CD2?
That's a really good question. And Jim's story was very comprehensive, very interesting. Has some great details in there. I don't know the answer to that. And if Ron wins, do the other two drop out for the CD2 race? There's a lot of great questions here. I want to tell you, the thing that surprises me is that Jesse Kelly is the front runner because he is there based on name recognition only. Qualifications, you look at everything else, he's number four as far as I'm concerned. Good guy in some circles, he's a hit with a lot of people, but there's just not a lot of substance there. And he's also laying low, which I think Jim alluded to in his story.
Mm-hmm. Although that certainly didn't hurt him. I mean, you could say the same thing. The field may not have been as insane as it was, but, you know, Jonathan Payton was a very accomplished lawmaker, and not only did Jesse Kelly beat him, it wasn't even close.
Yeah, but you know what, though, and one quick point here is that Jesse was really riding that tide of the Tea Party and everything, and it was much stronger back then. It's still very important to Republicans right now, but not nearly as much. So I don't know that it would be such a skate in the park for him now.
And plus, we have people who in the field, Dave Sitton, who has appealed to the Tea Party folks. We have Frank Antonori, who certainly has his fans in that segment of the Republican Party. And then we have Martha McSally, who is a relative newcomer. She has obviously a long military history, but she's sort of new on the scene. So there's a lot more going on in the primary, and you're hearing from a lot more people. And it's the kind of thing that, in my view, I think that Jesse Kelly definitely has a name recognition from last time, but there's also a lot of holdover and kind of bad feelings about how that campaign was conducted, and especially with things happening after January 8th, just that didn't sit right with people, terminology and things used. So that, I believe, is probably going to complicate things more than we may even realize, although his signs are everywhere. If you're the guy or the woman making Jesse Kelly signs, you are doing well right about now.
Right. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Jimmy Bogle with the Tucson Weekly, sitting in for Bill today with Sarah. Oh man,
Garrett Gasson.
Jeez, thank you, Dan, for having a simple name. And Dan Shearer, the Green Valley News. If you have any questions, call the Buckmaster Live Line at 790-2040, and you can join in the conversation. Got to move to a topic that's not only been national news; it's actually become state news, and that is contraception. There's a bill in the legislature that, Sarah, I know you feel very strongly about, that would actually limit what employer or not limit, but it would allow employers to limit what contraception was offered, yep, in their insurance plans.
Basically, it would let corporations, companies that provide health benefits to their employees, declare, even if they're not a religious organization on the outside, like a church employer or something like that, that they have religious objections to contraception or to another particular medical practice. Conceivably, that was probably not intended as a pun, but I guess it works well. Sorry. Yes, thank you. But what this bill would do would require or allow employers to not include contraceptive coverage in their insurance plans that are offered. And it's just – it's ridiculous. It is – people say that it's freedom of religion, that you can't force an employer to provide something that might go against his or her religion. But it's getting in the way of the freedom of religion or freedom from religion for the people who work for those companies, that up until they make themselves known and wanting to restrict what they offer, aren't blatantly religious providers. And I think it really goes back to something that we've seen nationally and unfortunately going into this the state legislature too, is people – the Republican Party wanting to interfere with really, really personal decisions, medical decisions, things that no political party has any business in someone's bedroom and with their personal medical decisions. And it's part of a campaign tactic to get people fired up, and it's working. And I really hope that people are paying attention and see the broader scope of what all of this means.
Because of all the attention it's gotten, the bill's kind of hit a bump in the process. And Debbie Lasko, who's the representative from Glendale, who's actually sponsoring this, she actually claims that this has just been misunderstood, that the bill's been misunderstood, and that really, you know, there is an exception in there for people who would be on birth control for health reasons, and that it really isn't as bad of a bill as people are making it out to be.
Right. But I don't understand – the thing I don't understand is, at what point did Arizona become a theocracy, and at what point did we decide to substitute one specific religion's doctrine for civil law? And to say that it's been misunderstood and you can still take birth control pills if you need to, for like I do for migraines, it's none of her business. It's none of my employer's business. It's something that is an incredibly personal decision made by a woman and perhaps a woman's partner to whether or not to have a child or to take steps to prevent that. And it's not anyone else's business. And it's they're acting as if it's an easy decision, and it's not.
Amen, sister. Let's go to the Buckmaster Lifeline. Robert is actually on the phone, and he has some thoughts about Jesse Kelly and how he's perceived in Republican circles. Hey, Robert, how you doing?
Hey, good afternoon. Look, from the comments your guests are making, and I know they're from the media, or at least one of them is.
Actually, all of us are. I hate to break it to you.
Okay, I really don't think that these reflect the views of the Republican Party. You know, nobody's looking at Jesse Kelly as if he did anything wrong after January 8th in the Republican Party. But there are a lot of leftist comments out there about that. Well, and I think the front runner, because a lot of us perceive him as a conservative, but not just a Republican, and that's what people in Republican and conservative circles are looking for this time around.
What do you think about that, Dan? I have to say I disagree with you, Robert, because there are three other candidates in the race who have a lot of supporters who are saying very harsh things about Jesse Kelly. What do you think, Dan?
I'll tell you, the GOP in Green Valley, very active, and I hear from them all the time, and they cannot make a decision on this. If you ask four of them who they'd vote for, and you'd get a different name on every one of them. Let me ask you something, Robert. Do you think that Jesse could be offering a few more specifics on how to deal with the issues facing the country?
I think that what people are looking for from the conservative side are for a few broad principles talked about in a concise way, which I think he's done, you know, about lower taxes, about getting the debt into a reasonable place, and strong defense. You know, that's how Ronald Reagan won his presidency, and that's what Republicans are looking for, is to get back to those strong basic principles and have the people make the decisions. Not, you know, by fiat. So it's also, you know, through say, the federal courts.
Thanks, Robert. I appreciate the call. Didn't mean to rush you off there, but we actually have another call on the other topic that we've discussed today. Christina has a comment about contraception and paying for it. Christina, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. The one part about this discussion that I think we kind of miss is that there are so many medical things that we buy for ourselves. Various supplements and, you know, just choices that we make. Why does it have to be that contraception must be covered by insurance? If it is so prohibitively expensive, the market will take care of that.
I just wanted to respond to that. I think, I mean, there are, it is true, there are specific contraceptive methods like condoms, things like that, that you could go into your local drugstore and purchase. But when you get into things like hormone implants or birth control pills, it's a medical thing. It's not as simple as I'm going to go buy some Tylenol. And so you need that interaction with the medical professional to figure out what is appropriate, because not every birth control pill is the same. There's different formulas. They don't all work the same for the same different people. And so it's a medical thing. It's not as simple as just, you know, going to the CVS and buying a pack of Trojans.
And Sarah or Christine, I apologize for cutting you off. We're running low on time, and it was a mistake. But we apologize for cutting you off so abruptly, and we appreciate the call. We've only got about 30 seconds left, but I just have to get Frank Antinori out there. He is, in terms of humor, at least for the gift that keeps on giving. A video is released this week of him blowing a stoplight in Scottsdale, and he is fighting to redefine the definition of an intersection to kind of put the kibosh on red light cameras. Dan,
very quickly, one, Frank should obey the laws just like the rest of us. Number two, he's absolutely right that the intersection needs to be redefined. And I know somebody out there is saying, no, that would mean more deaths, et cetera. But I've actually looked at this quite closely, and he's right on this. It should be redefined.
Why?
Because everybody is getting hit. I was a passenger in a car that went through an intersection about 6 months ago. We got flashed, and I thought, I'm sure that we're okay. We got the ticket in the mail. You look at how an intersection is defined, and they must be making scads of money off of this.
And when you, just to clarify, when you say hit, you meant like tagged with a camera, not actually hit.
Correct. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Dan. Thanks, Sarah, for a lovely Reporters Roundtable as always. We'll be right back after the break. We've got the culinary cruiser, Matt Russell, with the Weekend Watch. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly, sitting in for Bill, who's off enjoying a long weekend. And it's time for the Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Matt, how are things?
No, things are great. Jimmy, great to hear your voice. Great job on the show today. You know, I was in Washington, D.C. for most of this week, and I just had a little bit of a smile when it was a beautiful, crisp spring day in our nation's capital, and I heard it was snowing in Tucson. Life was good this week, Jimmy.
It's been crazy. I have some friends who actually were back east earlier this week, and they said that, you know, while we were having snow on Monday, they were enjoying, I think it was 80 degrees in Detroit almost, and it was just crazy. I'm actually starting my weekend right after this. I'm heading over to the Dodgers spring training game right after this. What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, well, you know, whenever a new restaurant opens up in Tucson, Jimmy, it always makes news on the Weekend Watch, and we have a good one that's opening up tonight for the first time. The long-awaited Augustine Brasserie, which is located in the old Mercado San Augustine in the far west end of Congress, is actually opening to the public for the first time tonight for dinner, featuring classic bistro food in what they call a casually elegant space. A lot of the classic brasserie-inspired dishes like country pâté and your niçoise salads and duck confit, but for seafood fans, they've got sea bass, carpaccio, soft-shell crab BLT, a gorgeous raw bar. Things get underway tonight for dinner for the first time down at Augustine Brasserie.
I'm looking forward to this place. Now, explain where this is downtown. A lot of people may not know this area. It's in the new market, San Augustine. It's a great little space. Kind of tell people a little bit about this space, because I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just way, way on the far west side, kind of in this little marketplace. The way they've done up this the space is just gorgeous, with a wonderful bar situation. They've got a great dining room. They've really developed in a way that makes you feel like you're in a new place, traditional Tucson, but all kinds of wonderful French-inspired cuisine.
Also downtown this weekend, I know that one of my other favorite places downtown, I've got a lot of favorite places downtown these days, is Cushing Street. I love the old school building there. I love the food. The service is great. I love their outdoor patio with the music and stuff like that. And there's some pretty cool stuff going on there this weekend from what I understand.
Yeah, I share your passion for the space, Jimmy. Long been a favorite of ours. One of the great patios for alfresco dining. And we've talked about this event on Weekend Watch before, but with the weather so glorious this weekend, we wanted to hit it again. It's live jazz tomorrow night, Saturday night, on the beautiful patio there at Cushing Street. They've got a great sax player, and with the twinkling lights around the trees, and you know, you don't really feel like you're in the middle of a downtown urban setting. It's just a wonderful kind of a getaway. Weather's going to be perfect, and I'm going to suggest that your listeners go for the Barrio grilled chicken, sauteed mushrooms, grilled onions, and a poblano artichoke cream. Jimmy, you put poblano artichoke cream on anything, count me in.
I'm with you there. I have to agree. Of course, one of the other big events going on, one of the biggest events all year in Tucson, this is probably one of the busier events for weekends just because spring just started, the weather is so beautiful, but of course going on right now is the 4th Avenue Street Fair.
Yeah, 325,000 people, Jimmy, expected to turn out this weekend on 4th Avenue. It really is one of the great events for foodies. More than 35 food vendors and over 40 arts and crafts booths, concerts, street performers, and of course, you gotta get your fair share of roasted corn on the cob. If your doctor says you're not getting enough fry bread in your diet, this is the place to go. Too many to mention grills serving up roasted tri-tip steaks. I can really just begin to smell it right now. The fair is underway from 10 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 4th Avenue Street Fair. There's nothing else quite like it, as they say.
If you have a doctor who's telling you you're not getting enough fry bread in your diet, I want you to call the Buckmaster Live line and give Rose, the producer, the name of that doctor, because I want to start going to that doctor, because that is awesome.
So, by this time Monday, he'll be saying, not accepting new patients.
Wow. That's just amazing. So real quick, 10 seconds, other than fry bread and the corn, what is your favorite food to get at the street fair?
The tri-tip. I mean, people are congregating around those wonderful grills. They've been searing for a long time and then smoking for a long time and cutting into that gorgeous, you know, underside of that loin, that tri-tip with some lime juice some kosher salt and some garlic. I mean, it's heaven, Jimmy.
Thanks, Matt. Have a lovely weekend. Now I'm hungry. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more about that at SplendidoTucson.com. Additional support comes from Flowers Rieger and Associates, certified public accountants. They're located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at FlowersRieger.com. Flowers and Rieger is the official CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. And on behalf of Buckmaster Show producer Rosemary Brandt, my producing hero, and Bill Buckmaster, I'm Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly. Have a lovely weekend, folks. Bill's back on Monday.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.